In second place in the 2014 Kuskokwim 300, totally laps time, 38 hours, 55 minutes, 45 seconds, taking home $16,500, the nine-time winner from Denali Park, Jeff King.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was another good one. I'd first like to thank our host family, Ed and Jane, and their daughters, Parker and Peyton. Parker and Peyton are responsible for Louis being so calm in here with the kids tonight, I think. Well socialized to begin with, but he was barking so much while the team was gone on the trail that they decided to just bring him in the house, and by the time we got back from the end of the race, he was a house dog. So you might want to keep an eye on table scraps and stuff at your new home. I'd like to begin by thanking my girlfriend, Ellen Donahue. She and I have been training the dogs together for going on 3 years now. And we met in the Pacific Northwest at a sled dog race several years ago. She has lots of experience with sled dogs, but not remote rural Alaska. And I think it was last year was the first time Ellen and I went out in the backcountry north of Denali Park, very near some of my favorite moose hunting grounds. And we got to a place on the Savage River that had overflow, 4 or 5 inches of overflow, and it was about 30 below, and it was the first time Ellen had taken a dog team through overflow. And we were running with another woman who was handling for us at the time, and had a lot of experience in the backcountry. But as the story goes, Ellen turned around to Kristen and said, "There's water. What should we do? There's water." And Kristen yelled back to her, "Pretend it's not there." And that became a pretty good story that we tell over and over. And I had really tried to talk Ellen into being in this year's Kusko 300. And as I was going through mile after mile of calf deep water, I kept thinking how I would just tell Ellen, "Pretend it isn't there." And I wonder how that would have gone over. I too feed Red Paw dog food and absolutely fabulous product, and it's a great, great dog food. I highly recommend it. We got asked today to go over to the Ute Learning Center to talk with some of the kids because I was trying to figure out my GoPro and they wanted to see the footage. And one of the students sitting there said, "Would you tell us how long you've been doing this? And what was your first race like?" And it reminded me of my first sled dog race that I'd like to share with you tonight. It probably was 1979. I had only had a dog team for a trap line, lived in a wall tent, Fat Martin, living out a childhood dream in what later became my favorite moose hunting area. And I came out from that winter of pretty much solitude, 13 dogs and me in a wall tent for most of the winter. Came out to the highway system, and sure enough, at the post office, when I got my mail, there was a sign on the bulletin board said sled dog race in Healy. And I thought, why don't I try that? And so I signed up, and I started looking into what it would take to be in a sled dog race, because all I had done is run truck line and wilderness trips up Mount McKinley. And so I remembered seeing Sergeant Preston, and he would always use a big whip to crack over the dogs. So I figured I needed a whip. And I also knew that the only sled I'd been using was about 8 feet long and weighed 150 pounds, and that my sled was probably too big. And so I asked around, and I got some people to loan me a little tiny wooden sprint sled. And a neighbor had been a expatriate cowboy from Colorado, and he had always had a bullwhip hanging on his wall. And so I went to him for the whip and the neighbors for a dog sled. And I said, "Could you show me how to use the crack the whip?" And he gave me a couple hour course. The problem was I didn't really have any time to test either one of them before the race. And So we showed up at the race with a sled I'd never driven, and the only thing I was carrying was an 8-foot bull whip in the bag. And I remember that when we unloaded my dogs and hooked them up, they just stood, they appeared petrified by all the other barking dogs lunging in. They'd never seen so many dogs in one place. And for a moment, I started thinking, I'm not even sure they're going to go because they look horrified. And but my turn finally came, and they got me to the start of the race, and off I went. And this little matchbox toothpick sled and I just flew off the finish line and barely hitting the ground. And I immediately thought, the hell with a whip. I'm going so fast now, I'd be lucky if I can hang on around the whole course. It's a 17-mile course. And but I was getting the hang of it. The dogs were truly going to go, and I started passing teams. And I thought, this is fun. Clearly, my team is not the slowest. Passed a few more teams, starting to get feel of the sled. And we got about 3 miles from the finish line, and all of a sudden, the trail opened up across the lake, and I thought this would be a good time to try the whip. And there on the, out on the lake was an old wooden chair that the race, the only marker, I think, the whole race was this wooden chair with a cardboard sign that said, race finish 3 miles. So that was kind of, I'm not no man's land, but they're telling you how far to the finish line. I thought, okay. I finally got the sled down. I'm going to give this try. Practice with the whip, you know, almost 45 minutes, and I ought to be able to do this. And so I let it out behind me, and it slithered out behind me down the trail. I remember thinking it looked like an Arctic anaconda coming down the trail after me. And I leaned back to try to make that heirloom snap that Sergeant Preston had always done. And all of a sudden, something grabbed my arm that was connected to the whip. And the whip had, in a mind of its own, grabbed the chair. And I almost let go of the sled. I didn't let go of the whip. And I just yanked, and all of a sudden the chair is flying over my head. The sign is flying off into the lake. The sled, or the chair, flies over my sled and dogs and crashes out onto the lake. I felt like Indiana Jones. Anyway, I almost fell off through this debacle and shook the remnants of the chair off the end of the whip and rolled it up, put it in my sled, and I've never touched one since. And I placed second in that race, and that trophy hung in my outhouse for 20 years until the outhouse burned down. And but fond memories of my first race. I have no idea how many Cuscos I've been in, but I'm confident I'll be back, thanks to my renewed passion for mushing, to have Ellen to help me do it. It sure is fun. We put thousands of miles on the dogs together this year, and it's very fun. One point of clarification. I have heard the mushers and the race committee talk about what a great group of mushers were here for getting around without scratches. But I might add that there's a bunch of people in this room that finished the race who have not a lot of experience, and they finished too. I want to give credit to the race organization, because it isn't the mushers alone. In fact, I'd have to say above the talent of the mushers that gets people around the course is the people that are putting it on. We were at a race this year. Fun as it is, it's really a disappointment when the organization just doesn't really know what will happen while you're out there. Defil knows what's going to happen while we're out there and does everything they can to make a fair and honest competitive event. I'd like to congratulate Roan. Awesome job. You're be watching on my Facebook page, because I have the entire debacle of the start on film. I'll let you look at it first. Maybe you can buy me off. But Otherwise, it's going viral.